is session one. It's Undercover. So in the chapter titles for the book Undercover by John Bevere, the purpose of this class is to encourage you to read the book and attend the video sessions when a group is available. We have selected just a few small portions to highlight during this session. It is just a small sampling from the material. So this class will take snippets from a few of the valuable biblical precepts that will bless you and protect you as you employ them with your faith. What does being undercover mean? When you think of the term undercover, we might think of curling up with a cozy blanket or maybe standing behind someone who can protect us if we're scared. The term is always used having to do with protection or safety. In the book, Bevere uses undercover to apply to Christians using this scripture as his basis. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Which is Psalms 91:1-2. Undercover is about being under the covering of God's authority. Whether you understand it or not, you will live your entire life under a God-appointed authority. It's true that when we all grow up, eventually we leave the home of our parents, setting out on our own life adventure. But no matter where we move or where we go, we will always have a responsibility to authority. For those who may not understand spiritual authority, this book opens your eyes to authority, and it works in our lives and reveals its true benefit to us. If you think you already understand the concept of authority, Undercover will challenge you to live by that understanding. Let's face it, authority is not a popular word. Yet by rejecting or fearing it, we lose sight of the great protection and benefits authority provides, which is from the book. Every person lives under authority. It is everywhere. Think about it. Parents, teachers, management, church leaders, pastors, or mayors, congressmen, and presidents, no matter where we go or what we do, we will always find ourselves under some authority. By the time we reach adulthood, most people have often developed their own subtle attitudes towards authority based on their personal experiences. Often these beliefs will fit into one of two categories. Number one, I just don't believe in authority. And number two, I'm not going to submit to authority unless I first agree with it. Those are not the right attitudes towards authority. To submit to God's authority, we must understand God rules over a kingdom. Understanding kingdom authority, which is chapter 2 in the book, and this is from page 10. It is hard to understand kingdom principles with a democratic mindset. Democracy is fine for the nations of the world, but we must remember the kingdom of God is just that, a kingdom. It is ruled by a king, and there are rank, order, and authority. The laws of his kingdom are not superseded by or subject to popular opinion, voting, or polls. The laws are not swayed by what we believe to be good for us. So authority is established by God.
Romans 13:1-2. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves.
What does God say about authority in this passage? Number one, every soul is subject to governing authorities. Number two, God appoints all existing rulers. Number three, rebelling against authorities is the same as rebelling against God himself, bringing judgment on themselves. So number one, let's examine your beliefs. You have to examine your own mindset. Many people believe they're only accountable to God, not accountable to the authority over them. This is a subtle but very prideful mindset. It's like saying, I will agree on the outside, but on the inside I don't agree, and I don't have to live that out. We must examine our beliefs about authority because that is what we will live out. The danger of resisting authority. Let's look at what Jesus said to Saul regarding this sort of mindset. Any of you want to read Acts?
Yeah. It is hard for you to kick against
the goads. The goads. Pastor preached on that. That was very interesting. So this passage can be more easily applied with a little explanation. Here's how the author explained it. On page 12 of the book, Farmers in biblical days used goads. A common goad was an 8-foot-long straight branch of oak or other strong wood from which the bark had been stripped. At the front end, a pointed spike was used to prod the ox while plowing. An ox would certainly not resist such a sharp instrument capable of administering a great deal of pain and harm. Hence, in Paul's day, this proverbial expression was used to describe the futility of resisting to superior authority or power. Those who resist the authority of God, whether directly as Paul did or indirectly to his delegated authority, will find themselves kicking against the goads in God's hands. More often than not, this can be a painful experience and lesson too many of us end up learning the hard way. Jesus warned of coming against authority and compared it to a very painful struggle in favor of the authority. God always upholds the authority he sets up. If we find ourselves in disagreement with authority, whether we are saying it out loud or we are resisting in our own heart, we are warned here that we are going to find ourselves in a struggle not only with the person in authority, but with God. And we are told it is going to be a painful venture and an extremely unpleasant one. So the secret power of lawlessness. Most often before people come against their authority directly, they have done so indirectly or in their hearts. This happens when a person has been deceived in regards to the subject of authority. We can truly see what we believe and what we need to give over to God when in a pressured situation. This brings out your true heart. Out of the mouth the heart speaks, which is an action. Revealed, not communicated, knowledge is our greatest guard against deception. Here are some more safeguards against deception. A person who is deceived believes with all his heart that he is right, when in reality he is wrong. Deception is a scary thing. When God reveals his word by his Spirit, it then becomes a part of us. When we hear God's command, but it is not revealed by the Holy Spirit, it is not a part of us. Then it is just a law to us. 1 Corinthians 15:56, the strength of sin is the law. But we do not act on what we've heard. We act on what we actually believe to be true, whether it is actually true or not. So then there's revealed knowledge. It comes when you seek God's heart in the matter. Regardless of what the situation is, you have to hear from God. This guards against deception. The one who trembles at his word will instantly obey him, whether he sees the advantage or not. He is the one who truly fears God. Lena, you want to read Ecclesiastes 12 and 13?
Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all.
The enemy will always try to get you to think something good is being withheld from you. This is entirely against God's character, but something the enemy always uses to trap us in deception. God is not a taker, he is a giver. Once disobedience is clearly revealed, you should never contemplate tolerating it again. And then there's Galatians 6 and 9. Lena, you want to read it, please?
Do you see what this means? All pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself slacking in your faith, you go over that story again, item by item, that long
litany
of hostility he plows through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls.
So self-inflicted judgment. Be very cautious not to look at people in authority over you and begin to judge them or second-guess the decisions they are making. When you begin to think this way, the very next phase in this thinking is usually that you could do it better. This is entirely untrue, because the one who can do it better is the one God placed in the position to do it, in the one in authority. The wisdom given in James proves so valuable in situations such as this. Will you want to read James?
Yep, James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Bevere tells us, but our response to the sins of others, especially those who are leaders, is one of the greatest indicators of our spiritual maturity. This being the case, God often uses the faults and mistakes of authorities in our lives to expose the true condition of our hearts. That has proven to be true. I was in a situation where I thought the decision that this person was making was wrong, and God showed me really quickly that is not your authority that you're trying to walk in. And so I had to repent because I was like, Lord, I didn't even realize it at the time either. And so it did show me where my heart was. Mm-hmm. And so I had to repent and get right before God. That's one of those things I was talking about, how you don't realize it's there. And then you're like, oh, remove it, Lord. So learning submission from judgment. There are always consequences to our opposition to authority. Let's read about two examples. Example of Noah. After the flood, Noah became drunk and fell asleep naked. His youngest son, Ham, came into the tent where he was sleeping and saw his father naked. He went out and told the rest of the family. Then two of the other sons, Shem and Japheth, heard of it. They took a garment, walked into the tent backwards, and covered up their father's nakedness, not looking at him at all. We see in the scripture that Shem and Japheth were blessed for this, and Ham was cursed for his actions. One was rebellious and foolish. The other two were merciful and honorable. Anytime we judge behavior of an authority figure, we mentally disqualify authority based on their actions. Then we feel released from submission. We must not cast off restraint in our hearts towards authority. We must always guard our hearts, being right and wrong at the same time. In God's Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11, God boasts about Noah's faith and obedience. We don't find Ham listed. Wasn't Ham right? Wasn't Noah drunk and naked? Yes, Ham was 100% accurate in what he reported. Yet he was wrong in principle. Reasoning would justify his actions. Repeated only what he'd seen. He was only being truthful. Yet principles of obedience and reverence say otherwise. So why do you exalt yourself? Examples are Miriam and Aaron. Miriam was Moses' oldest sister, and Aaron was Moses' older brother. They were both in high leadership positions, alongside Moses in their time. Miriam and Aaron believed Moses made the wrong decision by marrying a woman from another country, because God made it clear that marrying foreign women would cause them to turn their hearts away to foreign gods. They were right about that. God had warned against this very thing that Moses had done. However, it is always out of order to criticize your leader. They began to criticize Moses, and they started looking at themselves as people that God could speak through instead of Moses. They began to view their spiritual gifts and see them as above God's authority. This is entirely wrong. Judgment usually comes when you least expect it. You see this here when God called all three aside, then called Miriam and Aaron forward and reminded them that he had spoken to Moses face to face. And then he asked them why they should not be afraid to criticize. What a shock. They were thinking they were just about to be rewarded for good behavior. Boy, they were caught off guard. The Lord was angry with them. He departed and a cloud moved from them, and Miriam suddenly became white as snow with leprosy. Talk about immediate, unexpected judgment. When we criticize authority, we expose a lack of fear of the Lord in our lives, in ourselves. Spiritual authority is appointed. While it is true that God appoints all authority, it is possible that we place ourselves in positions we were never given or before we were given them. When we assume a position of authority without God's appointment, we are exalting ourselves above what God has established. God's timing is essential in this. You can be called, but yet be appointed. Jesus appoints the offices of service. No one can place a human being in these positions of authority except the Lord, and he does it by the Spirit of God. Michael, you want to read Romans?
Yep. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. 1 Timothy 3:10. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve.
Do not get discouraged when you are in the waiting period. Trust God's timing. Rebellion is contagious. What caused Lucifer to fall? Rebellion. What caused Adam to fall? Rebellion. What causes many to drift in their walk with God? Rebellion. What is really sobering is that most rebellion is not blatant, but subtle. We should be very watchful regarding rebellion. Lena, you want to read Romans?
I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus, no, our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people.
A rebellious person will draw others into their deception. When a person is deceived, the thing that keeps them going is finding agreement. They look for agreement in their rebellion, and it fuels their deception. Be careful to never add fuel to the fire of a rebellious person. The Bible tells us to just stay away from them. When you are truly saved and seeking God, you will be able to recognize the authority of God in the church and stay right under the cover of his authority. God takes the subject of authority very seriously, and often disobedience in this area is dealt with harshly. Learn these principles of authority and walk them out. Authority is there for your protection, offering a covering as comforting as a blanket. Honoring your authority is essential to your spiritual progress, and lack of it prolongs your spiritual development. So question number one, from this lesson, what stood out the most to you about spiritual authority? For me, it's if I find myself in disagreement, then there's something wrong with me. So then I need to go before the Lord and say, Lord, show me what it is and correct it. Because I don't want to walk in rebellion. I don't want to backslide. I don't want, because I've done that already. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be under his covering because I'm safe there. Okay, so for extra study at home, there's the two questions there. Can you recall a major lesson you have learned regarding spiritual authority and how it has blessed your lives since learning it? And number two, use your concordance or a search engine to find other scriptures on authority and read over.